Welcome to the Standing Up to POTS podcast, otherwise known as the POTScast. This podcast is dedicated to educating and empowering the community about postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, commonly referred to as POTS. This invisible illness impacts millions, and we are committed to explaining the basics, raising awareness, exploring the research, and empowering patients to not only survive, but thrive. This is the Standing Up to POTS podcast.
Hello, fellow POTS patients and beautiful people who care about POTS patients. I'm Jill Brooke, your horizontal host, and today we have an episode of the POTS Diaries with Laura. Laura, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So let's start with the basics. Where are you?
I live just outside of Birmingham, Alabama.
And how old are you?
I am 31.
And do you want to share, like, who you live with?
Yes. So currently, I live with my dad and my two kids.
And what would your friends or family say your personality is like?
So I had to do some research on this, and I got some pretty interesting feedback. One of my best friends says I am a gregarious chameleon. Enigmatic, a force to be reckoned with, driven with a great sense of humor and an eye for art and detail, very caring, loving, have a big heart.
Wow, your friends sound loving and they have good vocabularies. Okay, so tell us what you enjoy doing. What are you passionate about?
So I love art and photography, reading. I have a big passion for hiking, being outdoors.
Neat. What kind of art? Anything in particular? Like, do you do art yourself or do you like just looking at art? Or?
Yes, I grew up around art. Just my whole family is very artistic, very creative. And I love photography more than anything. So I do a lot of photography, but I, over the years, paint, sketch. I love to write. I love poetry. Just all art. I love looking at art.
Wow, that's fantastic. And that sounds like photography is a good skill to have if you have young children. Do you get lots of good photos of them?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. They never know when I'm taking a picture of them. They're like, are you taking a picture of me? It's art. Let me take your picture.
So we're wondering if you had a life before POTS, and if so, what did that look like? Like the year or two up until you found out you had POTS?
Yes, I was constantly always on the go. I worked in oncology, IV infusion, so I was on my feet a lot. I was constantly researching new places to eat, places to go, places to hike. I always had plans on the weekends. If I wasn't hanging out with my friends, trying, you know, I'm a big foodie, so I love trying, you know, new restaurants. Me and the kids, we had a goal to hit every park. We were always at the park, jump parks, just constantly going all the time.
So what was your first sign that something was wrong?
So in October of 2022, it was right at the beginning of October, I got sick. My daughter had come home the week before and, you know, she wasn't feeling too great. And I got sick a week later and I never got better. And by mid-November, I knew something was seriously wrong. I had woke up that day with vertigo, and every time I turned my head, I basically fainted the entire day. So I went to the ER.
Okay, and how helpful were they?
They were not helpful at all. At this point, I had been sick for so long, and I was telling them all these symptoms. I'm like, I am having these migraines. I'm having memory loss. I'm having brain fog. I can't remember what's happening. I'm having pins and needles in my hands and feet. I'm having vertigo. And all, of course, all the lab work came back great. And even when I had stood up, they wanted to do like a makeshift, like orthostatic on me. And I fell on the nurse. And she was trying to take my blood pressure. And she's like, are you sure you don't want to sit down? And I was like, we need this data. We have to push through it. I need to know. And by the end of my visit, they sent me on my way and said, you really need to see a neurologist.
Did you ever find out what the sickness was? Like, was it COVID or was it something else?
We believe it was COVID. And at that point, it was not like the COVID I had before, which they call old COVID. It was just, you know, sniffles, runny nose. Like, I was still going to work. It wasn't, you know, the really bad fatigue in the beginning. It wasn't really bad fatigue and the migraines and all that.
And so what happened next then? Did you go and see a neurologist like they recommended?
Yes. Yeah, so I went to my primary doctor and she first set me up, wanted me to see a cardiologist. And I was, you know, that was not helpful at all. Unfortunately, I know a cardiologist is great for some POTS patients, but it was not in my case. So it wasn't until May of that next year that I was able to get in to see a neurologist.
And did that lead to answers for you?
It definitely did. I am really big on doing my research. So I had really collected all the data, time points, everything that had happened to me in those months waiting up to see the neurologist. And at that point, I had already pre-made my diagnosis that I had POTS. It was very clear to me. So they ordered the tilt table test for me, and that's when I got diagnosed. But the tilt table test wasn't until, I think, 6 months later after I saw the neurologist, because the autonomic testing lab in Birmingham is so backed up. And I want to say it's the only autonomic testing lab in the area, if not the whole state.
Yeah. So yeah. At long last, though, you got this testing done and you got a diagnosis. And did that allow you to get access to treatments that helped a whole lot? Or how much did you improve from having a diagnosis?
Yeah, and I want to say just knowing that I had POTS for sure, just having that peace of mind that, like, okay, I'm not crazy, I knew something was wrong, has helped me tremendously, because I don't feel like I'm fighting an invisible battle. Any of the medications that I have taken, which I'm still in the process of trying different things, have not been helpful thus far. I've taken one beta blocker and it made my heart rate amazing. And the bad thing is it calmed me down so much to the point I felt very fatigued.
Okay. So you're just continuing to try.
Yes. Yes.
So I know that as we've been talking, your heart rate has been doing some funky things. Can we ask where your heart rate normally is and what it gets to if you're, say, public speaking or doing something like that?
Yeah, I am not a fan of public speaking. So this makes me very anxious. And my heart rate will get up to like 115, 120. Typically, my heart rate is generally high. It's usually in the 90s, you know, just sitting. I get super excited when I actually lay down and it's 75. I'm like, I feel fantastic.
So I'm sorry that you haven't found treatments yet that are making a big difference, but does that mean that you've had to change your lifestyle? Like, what's different in your life now versus before you had POTS?
So I did some deep diving one night because I felt so bad. My fatigue can get to the point where I can't drive. It can be pretty debilitating. So I deep dived one night just in almost enraged. I'm just like, I just don't want to do this anymore. And I got some of the latest research that has come out is that working out can possibly put you into remission. And it's easier said than done when you live with a chronic illness that causes workout intolerance. I am extremely grateful that on my good days and when I do have energy, I can do a light workout. So I kind of sat on that information probably 3 months before the new year, and I decided, okay, I want to try this. I want to do this. And I started out the new year working out every morning, you know, drinking water, just trying to eat more protein. And I can't say every day has been absolutely amazing, because sometimes I'll work out and my heart rate will get up to 173. And I'm like, I gotta sit down. But I felt like it has made a big difference. And also, I kind of wanted to go into this year. I kind of took last year to be very sedentary. And I feel like I was almost grieving my old life and like really trying to figure out, okay, what happens if I don't meet somebody, and what happens if I get worse and there's nobody here, because I am a single mom. And so I took that time and I really just grieved that life and decided, you know, I'm just going to do this for me. I'm going to take care of myself and take care of my health. And I am doing things I feel like can reset my nervous system. So one of the things that I do is I wake up early and I play like orchestra music, piano music, and just something very calming, very soft. And I will get out and I'll get my journal out and I'll journal just, you know, how I'm feeling, you know, what's going on that week, just kind of collect all my thoughts. And I feel like starting my days out like that and then going just very calm and then going into a workout and just like really, you know, trying to get my energy level up has been, it's really been helpful for me.
Nice. And if you had to like put a percentage on it, how much better do you think you are now?
Oh man, it's so hard to even say from like where I started in the beginning, because where I was in the beginning was so terrifying. If I was scaling it from where I started out in the beginning, I would have to say 80%.
Okay.
80%. A lot of what helped me too was removing external and internal stressors, like really, really having to, you know what my limit is on things and not take on, because I was taking on so much up until I got sick. It was unreal. I took on a lot. And I mean, I feel like that was one of the reasons I crashed, because I had so much on my plate. My immune system was completely depleted. I wasn't eating. I wasn't sleeping. I was going through a lot at that time. Like, I really did not have a chance to not get pot. Like, it would be inevitable for me.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah.
Are your kids old enough to notice, and what have you told them about POTS?
So, yes, my son is 9 and my daughter is 7. And in the beginning, it was very frightening and I didn't know what to tell them. And I was constantly having to tell them, you know, I just don't feel good. I'm sick. I don't feel good. I can't get up. Like, yeah. And I'm just one of those people that overdo it, you know, and I was always like doing everything for the kids, you know. It's almost like I wouldn't even let them move. It's just like, I'm such a caretaker too. I I really enjoy taking care of people, and I'm like that as a mother too. So when I got my diagnosis, I told them, you know, the best way I could explain it to them was that I had a heart condition. It's, you know, they're little kids, so explaining all the big terminology is a little bit tougher. But they were very scared at first, but now they know that mom's okay, and they have gotten a little bit more independent about things, and they take care of me. And honestly, I'm okay if I have a flare up because we do family movie night. So we all pile up on the couch and we watch movies together, and those are actually our favorite times. I really enjoy that.
That's great. So you've made lemonade out of your lemons. Every time you flare, it turns into a fun movie night.
Yeah. We do the whole popcorn, and we get blankets and pillows, and we either find a new movie or mom gets to find a good kids movie from the 90s, and those are always questionable to them. They're like, is this really going to be funny?
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So we have theme nights too. We'll pick certain movies.
And so do you think that having POTS has changed you at all as a person?
I do, to the point I feel like I can appreciate the small things coming from where I came from. I feel like I have a new appreciation for life in general.
And it sounds like you have really supportive friends.
Yes, my friend, actually, I didn't even know what POTS was, but at one point her doctor thought that she may have had POTS, and she, in the beginning, she told me, she's like, I think you might have POTS, and I was like, what is that? She's like, doctor thought that I had it, and throughout the entire duration of me trying to get up to a diagnosis, and even now, she never doubted me one second. I felt like she was the only person that really was like, she really validated me, and she was there for me. I mean, I don't like being vulnerable, but she would let me call her like crying, saying, I can't, like, my memory is lapsing by the second, I can't remember what's happening. And she's like, it's okay. And then when I'm coming to, I'm like, I'm sorry I called you crying. And she's like, it's fine. You know, she really validated me through the whole process. And she's absolutely amazing.
So that does sound scary. You're saying that your memory would be so bad that you couldn't remember what was happening, like, moment to moment?
Yes. And I feel like that might be part of the brain fog. I'm not totally sure. In the beginning when this was happening, and I'm sure a lot of it was the doctors think that it's very likely I had long COVID, because the cold and the cough did not stop until February of 2023. And I got sick beginning of October 2022. But in the beginning, I thought that I had a brain tumor. Like, it was awful. I couldn't remember what I was saying or what I was doing minute by minute. And sometimes if I get extremely fatigued, the brain fog will make me, you know, it will make me forget what I'm doing and what I'm saying.
Yeah, wow. So what would you say is the toughest thing about living with POTS?
For me, it's the fatigue, having to cancel plans, not knowing how things are going to turn out, up to making plans or arranging anything. I just got back from San Diego on a work trip, and the week, really the couple of months leading up to this trip, I was extremely anxious because this was my first time flying since my diagnosis. And I was, you know, traveling with coworkers. It's not like I was traveling with family or friends. You know, these are people who are, you know, acquaintances to me, which is a really great group of people. But I didn't know what was going to happen. And a flight and all, the entire trip. Like, what if I'm around my coworkers and I pass out, or But it turns out they were really great through the whole thing. So it's really just the not knowing when, or sometimes it's the why.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you know about POTS now that you wish you had known sooner?
The adrenaline rushes, the adrenaline surges. And I had started getting these, and I didn't know what was happening. And for me, my face would flush out, and I would get light tremors. And I did not know. I did not know what was happening to me. My heart rate would get extremely high, but my mind would be almost calm. But my body felt like it was in danger. I mean, I would be sweating profusely. I wish that I would have known a lot sooner, and I honestly didn't learn about adrenaline surges until a few months ago.
Does it sound fun to do a speed round where you just say the first thing that comes to your poor oxygen-deprived brain?
Absolutely. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Okay, so this is for comic enjoyment as much as anything else.
Okay.
Okay, speed round. First thing that comes to mind, what is your favorite way to get salt?
Squash. 100%.
Squash.
100%. I love squash. I will boil squash and pour all the salt on it. Is my southern
That's
accent
so
coming
funny.
out?
That's so funny because that sounded so good to me. And I just made that yesterday and again today. And I threw it out both times because I hated it so much. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe squash is this terrible. I thought I liked it. Anyway, maybe I just wasn't doing it right. Okay, next question. Speed round. What's the drink you find the most hydrating?
I like 100%.
What is your favorite time of the day?
Mid-morning.
Why?
Oh man. Like I feel like after I wake up and I have my I can only have one cup of coffee. I can't have two. But I have that one cup of coffee and I get to do my workout and I'm starting work and I'm just in that zone and yeah, mid morning is the best.
Where is your favorite place to spend time?
Ooh. I would say on a, if it's a mountaintop, I'm there. I
Oh,
love being in the
nice.
mountains, so yes. Love being in the
How
mountains.
many other POTS patients have you ever met face to face in the flesh?
I have not met any. Where are my people? Honestly, like I would love to meet somebody else who has thoughts. That would be amazing.
What is one word that describes what it's like living with POTS?
I work in research, so I would say investigative. Very investigative. It's just one big study, one big investigational study.
That's a good attitude. What is some good advice that you try to live by?
I'm good at by. I kind of have my own little mantra that I actually created right before I got sick. It's strength is what strength does. It does not have a choice.
Nice.
Yeah. So
Okay.
your strength is going to go as far as it can. Just it doesn't. Everybody's always like, how do you do everything that you do? Because I'm also taking care of my dad who had a stroke and two kids of my own with a chronic illness. And I don't know how you did it, do it. I have done it. And you do. Strength just doesn't have a tool. You just do.
Wow, that's great advice. Yeah. What is something small that brings you comfort or joy?
Ice cream.
Who is somebody that you admire?
My sister-in-law, she worked full time, had three kids, and was an amazing wife, is an amazing wife, and was in school full time. and got her degree, and I have just really admired her for years. And I ask her all the time. I don't know how you did it.
What is your favorite food?
Cajun.
Yeah. What is something that you are proud of?
My kids. My kids. I have the best kids ever. I really do. I'm not just saying that because they're my kids. They really are the best kids. Best and great kids. They're amazing.
Do you have anything that helps you fall asleep?
Rain sounds. Rain sounds. I play rain sounds.
Do you have anything that gives you energy when you need it?
I wish. I mean, I used to drink coffee and be wired, but if I drink coffee now, I'm just wired and tired.
Well, that's why we ask, because everybody's looking for a few tricks. What is a gift that you would have sent to every POTS patient on Earth if you had infinite funds?
BioLite. I praise BioLite. I tell everybody about BioLite. I love BioLite so much. There's so much sodium in it. And I will drink two of them and feel so amazing. I love it.
What is something you are grateful for besides BioLite?
I would say I'm grateful for my kids. Like, you know, my kids are amazing. I'm actually grateful that for everything that I've been through. And I've just actually learned to appreciate and have and to be grateful for, you know, things that you go through in life and where it takes you and figuring out why you went through it, why you had to go through it to get to where you are.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's really beautiful.
Thank you.
Well, okay, I just have one question left for you. You suffered a little bit to do this interview today. I know your heart rate went up high and you don't enjoy public speaking. So why did you decide to let us share your story today?
I feel like having always being the strong person everywhere to everyone. I've always been very strong and outgoing and ambitious and always on the go and reaching a point where I really needed other people's help and they couldn't understand, you know, how I had gotten to this point. And, oh, you know, not, I heard, you know, you're just depressed and you're just going through a lot. And it was hard because I was very much alone. And it wasn't because nobody wanted to help. It's just, I didn't understand, you know, what I was going through, and nobody else knew how to help or what to do. And I have met other people with different chronic illnesses and, you know, we're out smiling and laughing and, you know, they're also having their own type of flare up, and we're just watching everybody around us go freely. And we're sitting here struggling, just really smiling to be present with everybody, really put on our best face, best foot forward to get out and still try to enjoy life. And I feel like chronic illness, it's so invisible to everybody else. And people really need to know, you know, it's not, I didn't call you back or I couldn't show up because I didn't want to be there. Sometimes some people just can't be there, you know, and when people ask for help, you know, especially they don't know what's going on.
Well, thank you so much, Laura. It's been a lot of fun talking to you. And thank you for sharing all of your insights. I know everybody appreciates it. And I know that everybody listening wishes you all the best going forward.
Thank you.
Okay, listeners, that's all for today, but we'll be back again next week. Until then, thank you for listening. Remember, you're not alone. And please join us again soon.
As a reminder, anything you hear on this podcast is not medical advice. Consult your healthcare team about what's right for you. This show is a production of Standing Up to POTS, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can send us feedback or make a tax-deductible donation at www.standinguptopots.org. You can also engage with us on social media at the handle Standing Up to Pots. If you like what you heard today, please consider subscribing to our podcast and sharing it with your friends and family. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts or at www.thepotscast.com. Thanks for listening.